Hello and welcome to the latest episode of the Two Robbies podcast, your destination for in-depth chat, discussion and analysis of every Premier League match week and the Champions League as well. I'm Robbie Musto, he's Robbie Earle, and this is what we've got coming up in today's episode. Liverpool get back to winning ways against RB Leipzig in the Champions League. Manchester City put themselves 10 points clear, top of the Premier League with a 3-1 win at Goodison Park, and Fulham get a point at Turf Moor in their race relegation survival. That's what we've got coming up in today's show. Okay, Robbie Earle, jumping back on, mate. Knockout stage is one of my favourite times of the year, watching brilliant club teams come together in these fascinating matchups. And Liverpool, a lot of pressure on them, Rob. Of course, this was an away game, in inverted commas. It was held in Budapest in Hungary. Because of the pandemic, and that's been the safest place and different rules of different countries on terms of travel. So not really fair, by the way, for RB Leipzig to play their home fixture away. Of course, the home, the away goals will continue and will count. And Liverpool got two of them, Rob. It was a 2-0 result to Liverpool. Back to winning ways for the team. Back to their main goal scorers getting on the score sheet, Mo Salah first and then Sadio Mane a little bit later than that. Much better, Rob, was it from Liverpool?
Yeah, I thought it was one of those days, Rob, and there's been a lot of media attention, there's been a lot of gossip going on about what is happening at Liverpool, what's going on in the dressing room, as Jurgen Klopp lost this group. Yeah. And I thought it was a day to say, and Jurgen came out actually, and I thought it was really interesting, he said, don't feel sorry for me, I'm very happy that people are thinking about me, but I'm fine. And I thought it was a day where it was like, don't feel sorry for Liverpool, guess what? We're not as bad as you say.
They're pretty good.
We're not long ago, we won the Champions League. We are now, still as it stands, the reigning champions of the Premier League. We are still a good team. And yes, we've lost some players. And yes, some form's been up and down. But when these moments, Rob, that they click into gear, when intensity comes, when high pressure comes, when playing with those front three who look as sharp, start looking as sharp as we've seen in the past, it's a team to be feared again. And as I'm looking, Rob, as I'm watching yesterday, I'm thinking, they couldn't, could they? Could it be a year when, for all that's gone and all the kind of malaise and everyone's talk about the bad things, Champions League could be a little opportunity for them. And would we get over the disappointment of not going back-to-back?
Yeah, it could be. And there's no reason why Liverpool... Of course, they got it all on to finish in top four, which is they need Champions League football for next season. Of course, I don't think they are defensively sound enough, Rob, to go all the way in this competition. I've said it before about Man City. Yeah. That may be different this season. We'll get into that a little later. But I that's what I feel like.
People coming back, Rob. People coming back. Fabinho back. Kabak. Yeah. Getting through some moments, coming out the other side. Henderson getting into midfield. Front three starting to pick up again. I'm just trying to say, could they start again?
They could. They're such a good side. And the goals were a little bit gifted in terms of mistakes from RB Leipzig. I mean, we know that Mane and Salah will finish those off really well. Just back kind of on the bigger picture of that you started off with there. You know, it's Ozan Kabak looked better, more minutes. He needs those minutes, in my opinion, to really kind of figure out how he's going to fit in and get used to this playing at the back at Liverpool. They did have a couple of looks late on RB Leipzig. But you think about it, Rob, right? Liverpool were a really good team. Really good team before Alisson and Van Dijk came to the football club. They became great with those two players. So if Alisson's not playing well and Van Dijk's not there, they're not going to be great like they were before. And there's
a really good team, but they go back to being a really good team.
Yeah, really good team, but not great, where they can win the Premier League by, you know, get a zillion points. So I think, you know, we probably should remember that they were really good, but there was a couple of pieces left of the jigsaw puzzle, which of course they got in Van Dijk and the goalkeeper Alisson, and that made all the difference. So when those pieces aren't there, and the pieces Alisson's obviously still there, but he had a little run of performances where he didn't look very good, they aren't going to be quite as good. Now, whether they can get back to being great without Van Dijk in the side, I just don't think they will. But listen, we'll see. They feel that the Champions League is kind of like a fresh, like release all the pressure from the Premier League and they can absolutely go for it. They are in a really, really strong position, Rob. Obviously, two away goals. again, in inverted commas, to take back to Anfield against RB Leipzig. But I thought it was a controlled, you know, the football, that midfield is different now, Rob. With Thiago and Curtis Jones, it's different. And I got to be honest, I think we saw the difference and we'll continue to see the difference. Difference being Curtis Jones, Thiago, look great in possession, manoeuvring the ball, passing the ball, keeping it, really, really good. So that part of it's better in terms of the possession and the football side, but they're weaker. They're weaker without the ball. And that back four, which isn't anywhere near the strongest back four, has got a weaker protection mechanism with Curtis Jones and Thiago. And again, brilliant players. They're better, you know, in terms of the creativity and the slick football with those two in it, but they're not as good defensively. And at a time, we could argue, when the centre-backs are not the normal ones, they need it. So that's kind of... that's the trade-off for me. You're going to play those footballers, they look really good in this game, but defensively, you know, they're not going to be as sound.
Yeah, and I suppose, I think what I would say in answer to that, but the halfway house might be if you can get Fabinho in at the back, you can get Henderson into midfield, yeah, and then you've got Wijnaldum with one,
right,
with one of Thiago, right, and Jones. Now we might be talking, that feels a better mix. That feels a little, yeah, bit more athleticism, a bit of presence, a little bit of intensity when, yeah, they need to against some of those better teams. And you feel it's a better protection against that back, yeah, line. So I assume that's what Jurgen Klopp's looking for, or hoping to get to. I have to say, Robin, and we try and do, I thought Jordan Henderson over the last couple of games has been magnificent. Mm. Magnificent. Yes, he's been great when they've won, and yes, he's been a captain. Now, as I'm watching the game, he's got Kabak, who's a kid who's nervous, not had a great first day. Goalkeeper behind him who's started to look a little bit like he's going to make some bad decisions. For a guy who's a midfield player to slot in there, you can hear him, especially with the crowd not there. The amount of time you can hear that big Geordie Northeast voice barking orders, getting people up, I've seen getting tight and driving things on. And I think it was... Danny had said before, you miss him in the field. I tell you what, when he shouts like that, you don't miss him anywhere. His level of performance and his drive is taking him to another level. Jordan Henderson, the footballer, is a good Premier League footballer. Jordan Henderson, the captain, is becoming an outstanding footballer.
Mm. He's providing to that squad and that club exactly what they need. And the leadership and the voice and the organization and the drive and the focus around him to make sure his teammates are, you know, are doing what they should be doing. Yeah, it's really, really important. I mean, the way that, you know, his intelligence, Robert, it comes out a lot, doesn't it? He's playing at the back there. He reads so many balls into strikers' feet because that's what he did as a midfield player. He knows that the balls that they're trying to play into the strikers' feet, and he's all over those. Comes out and makes his interceptions so many times. Yeah, he's absolutely been brilliant. And I know you're a massive fan of Jordan Henderson. I am too. But I think the point you made there is a good one about the intangibles in some ways, Rob, that he provides to that club and that team, even in, you know, obviously in good times, but even in bad times when you need him the most, you're seeing him step up and playing in a role that I'm not sure he's totally enjoying it. And I think they would benefit from that, from him in midfield, but he's doing a great job. Just back on the midfield, Robert, I thought back to probably the best coach I ever worked under was Terry Venables. And he, when three players play in midfield, he always wanted a very different type of characteristic from each player. So he always wants a holding player as a getter, obviously, defensive-minded guy. He wants another player of the three as a footballer. So in this setup, you could, in Liverpool setup, it might be, you know, Fabinho is the holding player. I'm sure he'd have Thiago as his footballer, and then a goal threat is the other person. Now, you know, there's been a bunch of different midfield players at in Liverpool. Naby Keita was probably brought in to be a goal threat. You talk about balance in midfield, go in the box and get goals. That's what we saw him in the Bundesliga. And also a player that I'm swinging this around to, Alex Oxlade-Chamberlain. Yeah. And I know he's been out a long time, but he is somebody different in that midfield three, Rob, that could be a goal threat. And I know he came on a sub, and I know it's not easy. He looks like he's struggling, Rob. He's struggling in all aspects. Again, this is not a huge criticism of him, but it's just a disappointment that now he's fit again. you know, I'm really excited about Oxlade-Chamberlain in midfield being a little bit different to everybody else, but we're not quite seeing it. Do you have any theories of why?
It's funny you say that.
Really, time.
In those three that you talked about, you'd probably be the goal, the getter. You'd probably be the guy to rat around, get the ball, win it. Yeah. You know, in that three, I was the go and get a goal. Right? So there's another guy. Hopefully, I'd give it to someone who can play better than me. Yeah. I ain't a passer in the thing, but then I can time and run in the box and see where I need to be. So if Oxlade-Chamberlain is that guy, and I can only put myself in his position, Rob, the days and games I struggled were the days I didn't feel good about myself, when I didn't have my energy, when I was carrying something, when I wasn't 100%, and I thought, I'll play, but I never exerted myself. And it goes back a little bit to, I think we had the conversation with Gareth Bale. When you don't trust your body, you kind of go half-hearted. I make a run for it, but I'm not sprinting for it. When I was on my game, Rob, I would blast forward and blast back, and that was me. I used to pride myself on being able.
And you're not thinking about injuries.
I'm not thinking about saving myself for the last 20. I'm blasting, and if it's in the first 70 minutes, I'm going all out. And I know my energy and my lungs and my fitness and my muscles are all in play. He looks to me like he stopped trusting his body. So he's being cautious about where he gets to and how he gets there. And for a player like him, who's not, you know, when you're Paul Gascoigne or Kevin De Bruyne or one of them, you can manipulate a ball and see a pass and that. When you're me, and I'm not as good as Oxlade-Chamberlain, but when you get up and downer, your body, your energy is the thing that sets you apart. I used to say, there were many, many players better than me, technically, and me, but I would say I'll run the game out of them. And when I can't run the game out of them, my value just drops. Right? And I just get the sense, when I look at Oxlade-Chamberlain, doesn't look to me like he's running with freedom, with confidence around the football pitch.
Yeah, that's right. And it shows, because he isn't a Thiago on the ball. He's not a Curtis Jones on the ball. He isn't that guy. He is the guy that needs to show his... And you know, it's funny, because when he comes on, I think in this game, you see Jurgen Klopp. It was like a close-up on him as he came on. It's like, and you can almost kind of lip-read him saying, you know, get in there and try and make those forward runs and make things happen going forward. And maybe, you know, Naby Keita is another player that can do that. So until Liverpool, and I know they've done it differently and they've been super successful without really the goal-scoring guy, Rob. I mean, Henderson sometimes will play in that little bit more advanced role and will get in the get forward, get in the box, make some assists, which is good. But they haven't really had that guy. And of course, they've been incredibly successful. It's just an observation of when I see Oxlade-Chamberlain that maybe that's what they're looking for. There's a different type of midfield player.
Can I chuck one at you that I don't know, he moves one or two out. He moves Naby. He might make a call with Ox. As it happens, Dele Alli, Robbie Musto. Dele Alli, different environment, got that energy, can score a goal, can get me 10 goals with different players, with a different manager. Dele Alli in there.
Yeah, it'd be bloody. I mean, a maximum Dele Alli, that's exactly what I'm talking about. From midfield, making those run through. And I know that the two wide boys, Salah and Sane, Mane, make those runs in behind Firmino, but at times Dele Alli going from the middle of the park as well, that would be great. And listen, we're not saying that would ever happen, but that's the sort of player that if you are going to go down the Venables kind of idea of three different profiles of midfield players, my goodness, he would be the guy to be the goal scoring player from in that area. Yeah, absolutely. Good shout.
As good as Liverpool were, Rob, but look, is it disappointing in Leipzig? I mean, I teed them up as the German version of Leicester. I thought they went three at the back, almost three on three at the back. Two wide players went with the full-backs, got themselves exposed, didn't show much intensity. I mean, in fairness, Angelino, with a couple of cross, you know, change of direction, cross-field balls, caused them one or two problems, which they kind of worked out in a while. Trent stopped coming so narrow, and I thought dealt with it. But I was a little disappointed in them, in Nagelsmann.
Yeah, me too. Me too. I saw a really nice clip or video of Nagelsmann and Jurgen Klopp going back and forth about the previous game, and really they obviously get on, they like each other, they have a friendship. Really interesting. But yeah, I mean, I know they're second place in the league table. I think I tweeted out that this is surprisingly easy for Liverpool. Like, boss the game, control the game, had their own way with the passing. And I know the mistakes are mistakes, and and that made it a ton easier for Liverpool. But I expected it to be a lot harder. They did get a couple of looks in behind. They did get in behind a couple of times. Alisson made a couple of saves. But with the general game, I know it's not their home, but I expected a load more, Rob. Really did. And there was nobody in that side that really gave Liverpool that many issues. And I just was surprised at how comfortable, I guess, Liverpool were as the game wore on. I'm with you. I'm with you. And I know that Bayern Munich are probably the favourites of the tournament. But Leipzig are second. And I just expect, spend money. I just expected a lot more from them.
Couple of players I just want to single out. I thought Trent came into a game. I thought it was better, forward and back. Curtis Jones, I think, is going to grow into an important part of that team. Good poise, gets on the ball. Thought he did his work well. You know, closed down, got a good press. I thought the goalkeeper had a decent game. No drama. It was important for him. Clean sheet. I thought Kabak got himself through 90 minutes. Clean sheet. I think will do him a world of good. I think there's a defender in there. I think we're going to have to wait a time. I think he's been rushed in because of the circumstances. And a little special mention, and I think you called him the underappreciated player of the week a few weeks ago, and it was a bit weird because I think he was a top Premier League scorer. Mo Salah, again, Rob, comes up with the goals. Yeah, it's a mistake. Sabitzer gave the ball away. You saw him put his hands to his head even before Mo Salah, as if like, oh no, I know what's going to happen. 17 goals, top Premier League scorer, 24 goals all competitions, scored seven in his last seven games. Yeah. I mean, and not. Yeah, everybody can tell me what he's not doing and how easy he goes to ground. By the way, Mo Salah, I think he's 13th in the record, Liverpool record goal scorers now. I mean, that's Liverpool in a very short space of time. I mean, wow. I mean, at times this club have needed Mo Salah and he keeps digging them out.
Yeah, I he's world-class, mate. He's world-class to guarantee goals from wide areas. His finishing ability, his quickness, his durability, his sharpness. I mean, yeah, there's times where this season maybe his final ball hasn't been great. There's times probably where he's guilty of being a little greedy, but he's a hungry scorer. He wants to score goals all the time in every game, and I think he's class. I think he's going to win the Golden Boot if Liverpool kick on and do better in the last part of the season. But no, I'm absolutely with you on that one. Just before we move on, Rob, I'm going to go off a little bit of a tangent here. Thiago.
Oh, the Thiago conundrum.
Well, it's not the conundrum. It's like it seems to be splitting Liverpool fans at the moment.
Yeah.
I think there's one thing that we can argue. He's a brilliant footballer. So given a little bit of time and space and he gets his head up, there's nobody better. Arguably anywhere of finding that ball. In the last couple of games, just the physicality of it, he's been snuffed out a little bit. It was Ndidi had him in his pocket against Leicester City. Will there be games, I'll throw it as a question, where Jurgen Klopp says, you know what, this one isn't for you, Thiago. We're going to need a little bit more either energy or power or something different. Or is he always going to be really, 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 really important in that midfield?
It's a good question. It is dividing people. Before I answer, I'll sort of say, I think... the best of Thiago, you plug Thiago in a fully functioning Liverpool, and I think it's happy days.
Yeah, and we haven't seen it yet, to be fair.
We haven't seen it.
Yeah.
So I think that's an issue. But I do agree with you. It was really interesting. There was a spell last night in the game when the crowd aren't in. It's fascinating sometimes when you can hear the sound. There was a spell in the second half. All that you could hear Jurgen Klopp was shouting, Thiago, Thiago, about runners and about closing the ball down. There was a spell that must have been about 10, 15 minutes in the second half. All you heard him shouting was Thiago, because I think one of the commentators mentioned, I think somebody needs to have a word with Thiago about his work, right? Jurgen Klopp saying it from the side. Now, the very good Liverpool who play at the intensity that we talked about, Thiago can't play at that level, Rob. That's not him. Now, it seems to almost feel like if they're going for that really high-intensity, high-press, big game, maybe against opposition that are technically good as well, you might not play. You might play more when people sit back and you need to be clever with your passing and clever with your movement. And you can pick out a pass when everything's blocked up and look deep and you're thinking, There's no room in behind. How can we play our way through there?
Yeah, and there's no question Liverpool are a little different with him in the side. And maybe it's something that Jurgen Klopp wants to go to, Rob. You know, Curtis Jones is the same type. Maybe he wants to slow it down a little bit more and be more of a dominant possession and a bit more patient. I think I read somebody else had the stat. Liverpool apparently having the ball for 2 more seconds before an attack or something. There's something that their attacks are two seconds longer on average, which would again back up the we have Thiago and maybe Curtis Jones are a little bit more technical and they go back and they get it again, they go forward, they get a lender ball.
It's
different.
Before he came, people were sort of saying they could do with a Thiago, just rolls it a little bit longer and doesn't have to go. Yeah. Now he get there and things have gone and a bit like back coming in the team. And I think it's really hard to judge anybody right now where Liverpool are coming into that group.
Yeah, absolutely right. Until you've got a Fabinho and Henderson and Thiago and a Van Dijk behind him, that's when you really start to see his value and you know what he brings to the team.
To Everton hosting Manchester City at Goodison, it was a game that was called off for COVID some weeks ago. Chance for them to play in this midweek. Everton 1-3, 1-1 at half time. City dominating the ball, but Everton getting back in it, thinking like, could be interesting second half. City kick on in another gear, dominate the ball again, come up with a couple of magic moments that they can do and blow the opposition away. And as I was watching the game, Rob, and making a few notes, it wasn't one of those days where City were imperious and, the movement was all over and Everton were hanging in. Everton was, doing their best to block them. In my head came, and it's the two teams at the top table at the moment, or certainly at the top of the table at the moment, the two clubs from Manchester.
Yeah.
When you see City, whether it's great or bad, there's a recognisable way of playing that you see regardless of win, lose or draw. And today, it wasn't a great City passing performance. So what happened is they came to a couple of magic moments. They got magic moment out of Mahrez. Silver Clinch Manor, game over, won. You go to Manchester United and you don't see the recognisable play. You just you rely more on those magic moments. And so City can 70% of the games are going to win with their play and 30% they're going to win with magic moments. United are the opposite. United win 70% off magic moments, and if the magic moments don't happen, they struggle to win the game, as we see, at the weekend against opposition.
And there's a reliance in Manchester United of Bruno Fernandes. Mm. There's no reliance on any one player at Man City. We've talked about the midfield goals and how Gundogan, like, I think he's 11 in his last 12 in the Premier League. But wherever you look, like today, it obviously wasn't a Gundogan, didn't play. It wasn't really a Sterling. It wasn't a Jesus, but it was the turn for Riyad Mahrez. And Mahrez turns up and bends one in the top in the far corner. Bernardo Silva, it was his day today. So they've got this incredible, I don't know if it's knack or what it is, but somebody always turns up. And the quality will come from different places in every game just when you need it. I thought first half City were a little off it, a little off their usual kind of, as you said, football with Everton. Everton did a pretty good job in being really defensive and stopping it. But second half, it's like they just wear you down, Rob. Can you imagine playing? As a midfield player, we're both midfield players. Can you imagine how long that the game must last? And by the end of the game, and with those two moments of quality from two players that this week it was their week, by the end of the game, Everton, they're just walking. They give up. City grind you. They demoralise you. They dissect you steadily through the game. And it's like they give up at the end. I looked at the afterwards, Rob, the scenes, and all the players stayed on the pitch, and there was like they're chatting and laughing. It's like you're too good. I mean, normally if you lose a game, Rob, you're fed up and you're angry or whatever. But it's like, we tried our best, and all the Brazilians are together having a chat. It's very different, of course, and time moves on. But the gradual nature of the debilitating way that they wear you down was evident, and they got better and better. The moments, the football, the possession, the width, the stretch, the everything. And Everton at the end were like, wow. We just can't cope with it. We can't handle that. Brilliant.
And you know, as an opposite, you kind of think, okay, if you were playing when you've played against those teams or you're playing that those teams, and you just talked about, you know, the roles you have. You know, my role would be like as a midfield player, trying to get forward. All my energy is spent chasing the ball, so there's no enjoyment. And even when we do get the ball, I'm kind of looking at the forward, thinking, oh, he's probably not going to hold it up, so I'm not going to run 40 yards to support. Yeah. So I stop going. And in the end, you come off games like that, Rob, and I'm sure you've had a few where you go home and you think, I haven't affected the game in one bit today. I've done nothing that's good about me. I've had one run forward. I've not broke through any lines of defence. I've not affected any centre-backs or full-backs with a good header at the far post or something. It's just one of those days. And that's what City do to you. They wear you down. They disarm you. They take all your strength and disarm you. And in the end, it's almost like hands up. Let's just get this over and move on. And that was where City were maybe a couple of seasons ago when they're flying. Looks like they're getting back again. And let's forget, like, there was no Diaz at the weekend. There's no Stone today. And, you know, mix that around. Tell you who I want to give a little bit of love to. Now, he's not always been my favourite. He's certainly not always been on the radar. Rodri.
Yeah, I've always liked him. I like him a lot.
I wasn't as convinced, but the last few games, he did a weekend again, and when it gets tough, doesn't often do a good job for them in there. He's good size as well, Rob. You know, he's like a centre-back in there. Lovely feet, keeps it simple. Yeah, good intercept, he's both boxes. He's a bit different usually from a Pep type. He's not the Busquets or that, but he's good, nice with his passing, keeps it nice and simple, good size. I just thought it was another kind of, for all the stars who get the headlines and they have their moments, he just continues to be a nice little consistent basis in front of that back four.
Yeah, Phil Foden got his goal, Rob. I think Foden probably enjoys playing in the highest three more than in the middle three, which he did today because of Gundogan's injury, but he still gets his goal. He still gets the opportunity. He focuses and keeps his head down, keeps the ball down, gets deflection, gets in the back of the net, scores another goal as well. I just think that they are warming, they are grooving, they are peaking at absolutely the perfect time as the Champions League is about to kick in. They have to wait another midweek, aren't they? Their next midweek, aren't they? I think Borussia Mönchengladbach, isn't it? I think. But again, just I feel differently about City, Rob. We've talked about, and this is a Champions League kind of a little bit of a Champions League pod of what's going on. Yeah. And I've never really fancied City. I've never fancied them to win the Champions League as much as I do right now, given the form and the nature of the midfield scorers, and particularly defensively. And they gave up one today. Really good Everton goal. Really worked it particularly well. Off the post, off Richarlison's hip into the goal. But I just think they are ready, mate. They could, you know, the domestic three plus the Champions League would be incredible.
Quadruple talk from Robbie Musto. Love it. Yeah. And it almost doesn't seem right. It's 17 straight wins all competitions. And you bring on the player of the last season, Kevin De Bruyne, who's going to start and add something to him. It feels like that's too much for this league. That's too much. But City going along nicely. So now, Mr. Musto, we'll get to the weekend of Everton going to Liverpool at the Derby on NBC, 12:30 Eastern time. Huge game for top four spots for both these clubs who could do with a league win. I think three straight home defeats for Everton in the league. For Liverpool, obviously, wanted to get things back going at Anfield. How do you see this one? Do you think the midweek form boosts Liverpool, sets them off?
Yeah, it really does. I mean, that game, that win in the Champions League was so important, Rob. Can you imagine if they'd have gone there and lost that game? The pressure, the talk, you know, the scrutiny on Jurgen Klopp and this Liverpool side and whichever players maybe didn't play well or your Kabaks or whoever it is, if the game in Hungary didn't go the way that it did. So that result changes quite a lot. It changes quite a lot. And I think the conference will be back with Liverpool now. The expectations at home against, of course, the Blues in Everton, they'll be favourites to win. I thought Everton, you know, played pretty well today in the first half. They need Dominic Calvert-Lewin back, Rob.
Yeah, is he going to be back? What's the shout with him fitness-wise? They thought he was going to be back. A little hamstring injury, we're hearing.
Yeah, and my understanding is that he's going to be okay for this game, for this derby match. But again, you know, we have to wait and see. And you never really, but that was the understanding that he should be back for that match. And that frees Richarlison to play on the left-hand side. Hammers came into this game late on, didn't he? So it should be a cracking game. Again, as this is arguably the best derby in English football, one of them. Without the fans, it will be a shame at Anfield. But I just think Liverpool now, it depends on those centre-backs. It depends on Kabak, and it's going to be a more of a test if he's got Dominic Calvert-Lewin running off him, Rob, because that's my concern, that he isn't quite got up to speed of some of these really clever, quick forwards. You know, if he plays with Charlison, if Kabak and Henderson, whoever it is, or if it's Fabinho back, if they can do a decent job in that position, I think we'll win the game. But that's the concern. Everton have absolutely got a chance, Rob, given where they are on the league table, given, you know, some of the quick players they've got, particularly if Calvert-Lewin is back, they've got a real chance of upsetting Liverpool.
It's kind of amazing, isn't it, in the space of, 18 months, 2 years, how important Dominic Calvert-Lewin has become to Everton. There was one time he was kind of a guy that was in and out. All of a sudden, his goals, his threat, his ability to stretch a back line over and join the play-up, just shows how much he's come on and, you know, probably a part of an England squad in the Euros in the summer. But, big game at the weekend. The Manchester-Merseyside derby, even though always a big game, but top four spots up for grabs. Certainly one to make sure you join us. 12:30 p.m. Eastern time on NBC. Just a little roundup of a couple of the other games, Rob. Burnley 1, Fulham 1. A point that probably will seem better for Burnley than Fulham. Certainly have Fulham going 1-0 up. Another draw for Scotty Parker's men who, you know, can't keep doing it. You know, I think they're going to win a lot of plaudits unless they start winning games. You know, that gap, there's a chance to close that gap on Newcastle that, you know, all of a sudden, as long as they can, Newcastle can keep that their nose in front, was it 6 points difference now? They're in a decent place.
I just thought it was an opportunity, Rob. An opportunity, a week in Burnley's side. Momentum, confidence. Josh Maguire, the new striker, scored 2 goals in his last game. Brilliant result away at Everton. They go 1-0 up, Robbie Earle. 1-0 up in this match in the second half. You know, that's when they're defining moments. See it out. Win a game 1-0. That's what Burnley have done throughout the seasons. Narrow victories. There isn't much in these teams, by the way. If you went through on paper, you know, even production from this season, Lookman's got more than McNeil. You know, your strikers, Cordova Reed's got more than Barnes and Rodriguez put together. Loftus-Cheek, good. It matches.
That's why you just got to make sure you come out the right side of those games, haven't you?
And
I thought the equalising goal was a terrible defensive goal from Fulham's point of view.
Yeah, it was.
On the outside, fullback's not even thinking. The fullback's standing with his hand up in the air for about 2 seconds before the ball goes in the back of the net.
Basic defending. So, I mean, 6 points, Robbie Earle.
Yeah.
Newcastle.
You'd rather have the points, wouldn't you? Rather have the points than the form that Fulham have got, a bit of form, an unbeaten run that you know, looks good on paper, but a lot of draws in there.
Yeah, Newcastle won 7 games. Fulham have won 3. Newcastle got the points in the bank. Fulham haven't. The feeling is that the momentum's kind of with Fulham. I just think today was a real opportunity to continue that momentum. If and I know they've got a difficult game. I think it's Man United for Newcastle next, isn't it? And Fulham have got Sheffield United. That's favouring Fulham. But if imagine 1 week, if they don't take advantage of it, and Newcastle win and Fulham don't, too many. So they're on their last kind of opportunity for Fulham to stay up. I mean, it has been better, and we all love the work that Parker's trying to do. But I thought that was a.
You need a couple of 1-0 or something just to give you a chance. But still plenty of work for Sky Park and Fulham to do. We'll see how that goes towards the end of the season. Just wrap up, mate, a couple of interesting results from the Champions League over the last couple of days. Barcelona 1, PSG 4. A hat-trick from Mbappe. Poch gets the job done without Di Maria, without Neymar. Maybe Poch has shown us that with a different group. And was this... Well, we'll talk about the sort of Mbappe after, but a terrible day for Koeman and Barcelona, mate. And some game players who look like, you know, it's finally time to call it a day.
I thought a couple of interesting, the photograph that did the rounds on social media of Gerard Piqué reaching back desperately, pulls the shirt of Kylian Mbappe, who's in full flight. I mean, wow. That's kind of where those two players are. Yeah, and I think Lionel Messi afterwards had said, we just lack quality, you know, and that the whole football club Barcelona, there's talk, of course, of going back to a previous president to try and change things. Will he persuade Messi to stay? Is Messi's going to make his decision at the end of the season?
PSG, by the way.
PSG, Man City.
Brilliant.
But when you see Busquets playing still and Gerard Piqué playing still, wow. I mean, I studied Barcelona. I worked in La Liga when Pep was there, and that team was still to this day the best team I've ever seen, and some of the football was breathtaking with Messi in his absolute best condition. Now it's obviously fallen away a little bit, and Mbappe and Pochettino, it's exciting. PSG is kind of a dangerous team that could have a great Champions League. We'll have to wait and see. But that image, that picture was the picture of the midweek. It was great.
We've all had that moment as well where it's like you're trying to hang on to your career and the new breed is saying, sorry, we're gone. Very sobering moment for Gerard Piqué. Porto 2, Juventus 1, 2 sloppy goals, 1 in the first half, 1 in the second half for Juventus. And I mean, they grabbed a goal back that gives them a lifeline in this, but not what Cristiano Ronaldo and Juve would have wanted going into this game. And it makes it difficult for them now, mate. Another legend who's sort of not hanging in there by any means with the ability and talent he's got. You know, it's not too many more days in Champions League for the great Ronaldo.
Well, the time is coming where the next generation of superstars has got to pop forward. And I'll let you talk about that, Rob, because Sevilla 2, Borussia Dortmund 3, with a certain Erling Haaland scoring again. Is this where the future superstars are now?
Next generation, Mr. Musto, I'm afraid, it's with sadness that I think we're looking at Messi and Ronaldo now as they come to the end of what's been a glittering sort of set the standards of the last 10, 15, 20 years in some respect. But Kylian Mbappe, Rob, when he can isolate a defender and the speed with which he moves and the directness with which he runs at people is astonishing. He's got lovely feet and balance. He looks like the next sort of Ballon d'Or in waiting. Erling Haaland's a different type, a bit more powerful, strong running. But, I mean, the finishing, both of these players, Rob, have got 18 Champions League goals before they were 21. I think that's more than Messi and Ronaldo. Now, I know they're going to have to do it for a long time to surpass what those guys are doing. But this is some standard being set by two of the next generation who I think will be vying for the Ballon d'Or. And it's going to be interesting with Haaland because, I mean, there's all kind of rumours where he might end up. And I think these 3, 4, 5 Premier League clubs who would die for him, who would instantly be better.
Yeah, and even Mbappe, there's talk about him with Real Madrid, isn't there? So those two players doing brilliant work, and we'll see what seasons they have in the Champions League and where it all ends up. But two players that might be moving on. Ireland would be a dream ticket for any Premier League side. I know there's a buyout clause which is going to be met, I think. It'll go for more than that. Fascinating. Love to see both of them in the Premier League. But, of course, we can't be greedy, mate. We can't assume every player is going to come to the English team, because there are other great leagues out there, other great clubs and other very rich owners that will want these superstar players. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, it's just great seeing them, mate. And that's why I think everybody loves the Champions League at this stage, because you get the best teams, the best players matched up. Difficult and somewhat unfair with these neutral venues, I've got to say.
Yeah, it's a little bit when you're away goals and you're not on your home ground. It's a bit awkward. But
I don't feel right. No.
It's strange times and I have to do some strange things. But you're right, mate. Champions League's back and we all love that. But we also love the Premier League as well, my friend. So Liverpool showed a bit of champion spirit this week in the Champions League against a dangerous Leipzig team. While in the Premier League, City just continues to go from strength to strength. 17 wins on a row for them. Almost feels like they're playing in their own league at the moment. Look out for our next podcast. That's on Sunday, February the 21st, when we'll look back at match week 25. With the Merseyside derby, with top four spots up for grabs as Liverpool host Everton. And on Sunday, Mikel Arteta and Pep Guardiola used to share the same dugout. Now they'll be against each other in a game that still means something to both those teams. But for now, I'm Earl. He's Musto, together with the two Robbies. Thanks for watching and listening. Be safe, stay healthy, and it's a good night from me.
And it's good night from him. Good night.
Good night.